Hello, glad you could make it back for episode 12. And if this is your first time in the High Desert Lounge, welcome. This is, as you probably know, High Desert Musings, the biggest little podcast in Nevada, coming to you live or semi-live, as the case may be, or my state of mind, from northern Nevada in what is called the Truckee Meadows. And if you're looking for the city, it is Reno, the biggest little city in the world. And I know that's true because it's written on an arch down in town. Yeah, right there, in a big arch. Well, I want to say thank you so much to a lovely lady named Knittin' Wolf, who friended me last night and said how much she enjoyed my humble ramblings. So thank you very much. I enjoyed chatting with you virtually over the internet. And I also want to let Coggy of the High Fiber Diet podcast know how much I appreciate her for mentioning this podcast. You know, I was absolutely touched that you spared a few moments to give me a shout out. In fact, I almost fell off my chair. And me and the lava lamp just sit here quietly, entertain ourselves. And I've noticed a big spike in listenership since your episode. So thank you very much. You know, there could be just more enchanted listeners out there like me who can appreciate the ravages of menopause on one's already wacky disposition. And the internet provides a great way for us all to kind of flock together in our odd formations out here in the podosphere. So welcome, settle into a comfortable seat, grab your knitting, and this old bird will chat with you for a little while. Well, I'm going to call this episode No Guts, No Glory, and when I tell you of my trip to Stitches West, you'll know just how much guts I do have, or lack of intelligence, either one, they both work. And in Crafty News, I'm going to be discussing that adventure, as well as the FOs I'm celebrating and the wonderful projects on my needles. I also have a book review in that section that kind of popped up unexpectedly, but I think you will enjoy it. Well, I'm going to switch the segments around a bit today. Normally, I do my crafty news first, but today I'll actually start the lineup with Foodie Follies. And I have a number of recipes I've tried lately that I think you're going to enjoy. And we also won't be visiting Brewer's Corner. You know, I haven't screwed anything up lately, so we're just going to leave the yeasts over there munching on their sugars happily. And maybe next time I can actually be drinking some and let you know if it worked out. As always, I'm going to wrap up with a little bit of musings and meanderings. So we're going to begin, as I said, with Foodie Follies, and I have a digression. My sweet husband is an awesome photographer, and this podcast was actually scheduled to be recorded yesterday, Saturday, but he had two female models coming over for a photo shoot. Now, sometimes these gals come over and they want portrait photography, sometimes it's implied nudes, and sometimes it's full nudes. And I never quite know until they walk through the door and discuss with him what they want. I don't know what they're doing, okay? So he engages in some email conversations with them prior to their arrival, but after they get here, sometimes they feel very comfortable and basically drop their drawers and there's your full nude photography. Well, yesterday, as I said, he had two models come over, and it was going to be a full nude shoot. And the girls came over together, strength in numbers. They were going to be each other's bodyguards. And so in between my hiding out in the craft room and walking back and forth from the kitchen, and out in that direction is where the little studio is, I didn't get the podcast done. And when there are new models over, which is what these two gals were, I always try to be here just so that they might feel more comfortable. And I introduce myself as Ginge the House Frau, and I am never nicely dressed. I always have my grungy sweat clothes on, so very non-threatening. And once they've been back a couple times, then I don't need to be here anymore. But anyway, that's why the podcast is a little late. And I also wanted to tell you this story because he's been participating in an online project with his photography where each week a new photo assignment is posted. And although it's not a competition, each of these photographers are critiqued by the seasoned professional photographer running the forum. Now, I'm not really a photographer, I'm a point-and-shoot kind of gal, but it's fascinating to see how these assignments are given out, and then everybody does their interpretation. And some hit it on the mark so beautifully, and others you kind of question, what were they thinking? Well, anyway, Okay, we're in Foodie Follies, getting back to it. So one of the latest assignments that he was given was to photograph the raw ingredients of a salad. And the professional photographer gave them links to, you know, the Food Network and other recipe databases. But I already knew what salad my husband should photograph. And it's a salad that he has made for me for many, many years. It used to be a Bobby Flay recipe, but he's changed it so much, it's really his own. And so I decided, definitely, you should photograph the ingredients for that salad. And I was being very mercenary because I knew I'd get to eat it when he was done. He doesn't eat salad. For the most part, he can't eat ingredients in a salad. So I was happy as a clam when he agreed to photograph the raw ingredients for that salad. Well, as you might know, we are not in any season of the year where you're going to get beautiful salad ingredients fresh out of your garden or at the grocery store, which left us basically with one choice: Whole Foods. Now, I shop at Whole Foods, and when you have a family member, as I do, who's allergic to the world, you really do need a specialty store where you can buy, in our case, goat milk, tofu substitution items, gluten-free products. So I appreciate that Whole Foods is there and that I can easily go there and buy stuff for him, but they are pretty pricey. So going on with my story, so we go to Whole Foods because I figured we could get heirloom variety stuff there, and we find 11 tomatoes, 2 cucumbers, 2 loaves of artisanal bread. They were really pretty and I felt the texture would look good in his photography, and 3 bunches of fresh herbs. And I think we got a few containers of sheep yogurt. Okay. Anybody want to guess how much money that was? Okay, ready? $68 and change. $68! I could not believe it. And this is for a freaking salad. One salad that 2 people are going to eat. Well, he's not supposed to eat, but 2 people are going to eat this salad. Well, on top of it, we even had to go to a second store to get the rest of the food that we needed for this salad. So as I said, I appreciate that Whole Foods is there, that they have products that I can purchase that my husband can eat without getting sick. But I need to play a song here to help us exorcise the demon from Foodie Follies before we continue. Okay, here goes.
I'm not one bit sorry. My grocery tab's so large, and viral guilt's diminished by being overcharged. Free range brie I'm scarfing, designer tea I chug, all the while remaining self-satisfied and smug.
Shopping among celebs.
Okay, we're done. Musical smudging is over. Did you like that? Well, I have gotten over my shock of the $68 salad. And I want you to know that the salad shoot went absolutely beautifully. He had a number of emails actually commenting positively. And I'm going to put a link in my show notes so you can go see the ingredients of that salad. When you look at your food in photos like this, I think, at least for me, it just made me appreciate the quality of the product. You know, I regret that I paid $68. But I think if you can look at food in this different manner, it actually made eating it a little bit more enjoyable because I could see how beautiful it looked in that photograph. Well, the second reason why I wanted to let you know about his photography is he has very sweetly volunteered to teach me how to build a small light booth for my knitted projects. And as soon as I record how he does it, I'm going to put that up. Hopefully it will be in the next podcast. You know, I've kind of shown him how pictures are on Ravelry, and some people take great pictures, and I think some people maybe don't. And it might not be that they just, you know, don't have an eye for photography, but lighting is horrible. I know I have to take my photographs in the bathroom because it's the only room in the house with good lighting. And so I always have to be creative so that you don't see bathroom things. So anyway, that's also why I wanted to let you know he was a photographer. He's going to show us how to make a light booth, hopefully, and I will have that for you next time. Well, anyway, when I put the link to the show notes for his pictures, you're going to see maybe some of the other models that he's taken photos of. I don't think there's any nude photography in there, so you're pretty safe on that. One of the models you might see is holding a cell phone. That's actually me. One of his assignments was to take a photo that was aimed at seniors, and I was the most senior person we could find for the photo. So I have my pink BlackBerry up by my face, but you will see me, and it's my hand in the chocolate cake photo assignment. Yes, I was being very model-like with my hand and fake red nails, so you should definitely go have a peek and giggle at that one. Okay, on to Foodie Follies. And I want you to know that I have tried a few recipes lately, as I always do from watching Food Network. And one of the recipes I saw lately was actually on the Triple D, or Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives show with Guy Fieri. I had walked in at the very end where they showed the final product. I have no clue how this restaurant actually made the pie. You know, usually you watch him make the dish and then Guy eats a piece of the final product. I didn't see any of that. All I saw was a picture of the blueberry and goat cheese pie that Guy Fieri was freaking out over. Well, I decided I can so totally make that, and I taste tested my way through to a pie that tasted really good, and my husband loved it. So I'm going to have that up on the website. And as I said, I went to Stitches West, and he was here all by himself for 4 days. And so in addition to the pie, I just thought this sweet guy, for letting me go for so long, should also have ice cream with his pie. But he can't eat normal ice cream. So I dug up a recipe that needs creme fraiche as one of its main ingredients, which is a cheese. But I needed to obviously substitute that. So I used sheep milk yogurt, and I'm going to put that recipe up. And I churned up my sheep milk yogurt, my goat milk, and the other ingredients that I came up with. And you know what? It was delicious. You'll never be able to put it side by side with a Haagen-Dazs or Ben & Jerry's vanilla bean ice cream. But if you or someone you know is bereft of bovine cream in their diet, this recipe will work really well. And don't forget that when you use vanilla beans, because I know they are kind of expensive, in a mixture like this, if you just take it out, which you have to do in the recipe and you'll read that, you can rinse it off in the sink, dry it really well, and then you can put it in sugar and it will flavor the sugar, and you can use that sugar in, I don't know, your tea or sprinkle it on a piece of toast, whatever, but you can flavor it still even though it's been used. All right, so that was two recipes. My final recipe, I wasn't even going to talk about, but I thought, what the heck, since I've already mentioned the photography shoot yesterday. When he does a photo shoot, it's very hard for him to eat, but there's lots of times during a photo shoot where he has nothing to do. There's usually an hour's worth of makeup, and then he takes a few photos, and then they put on different makeup or different clothes or what have you. So yesterday, I whipped up a little tsumai, which is one of the many varieties of dim sum that you can find in, well, I lived near San Francisco, so Chinatown in my case. My great-grandmother emigrated, her and her family, emigrated from Hunan province in China. And although I could speak, read, and write fluent Mandarin years ago, I basically suck at it now. I wish I didn't. But, you know, because as you know, China's about to take over the U.S. economically, so I guess I should start practicing again so I can at least say, welcome home, when their country takes us over. I'm being facetious, but I wish I did still speak Mandarin. Okay, so I made these little tsumai, which is pork. Many times you will find these particular pork dim sum with shrimp meat in it as well, but I have a horrific allergy to shellfish. So some food, yes, makes my husband sick, but this allergy, don't even get shrimp juice, crab juice, whatever near me. I can't take it. So I make our tsumai completely with pork. All right, so I'm going to have that recipe up. And if you don't have the little bamboo steaming contraptions, you can always use just one of those little vegetable steamers, you know, that you put down in a pot and they kind of fold bigger or smaller depending on the size of the pot. And I'll put up a picture that shows how I put my bamboo steamers in that exact steaming contraption, or you can just use that little steamer, that little vegetable steamer. Either way will work. But anyway, that is the third recipe. So you have your what did I tell you first? Oh, blueberry and goat cheese pie. Then you had your sheep milk yogurt ice cream. And now you had tsumai, which is really a great little recipe because, as I did for him, once it gets finished steaming, which is about 12 minutes, you just turn your little pot down to low and it will keep those little tsumais hot for hours. And so he can just run into the kitchen, grab one, pop it into his mouth, and go back to shooting. And you could do the same for your kids or anybody else. Very quick, very easy to do. Okay, so I'm pretty sure that means we're done with foodie follies and we're going to get on to the real excitement, which is crafty news and the great fiber orgy that is Stitches West. All right, so here we go. Here's the No Guts, No Glory portion of the podcast. Well, I needed to drive down to Stitches on Thursday, and there was a huge storm coming into the Sierras on Thursday. A little bit had come in previously, but there was a window, a very small window, for me to get from Reno up the pass through Truckee, over Donner Pass, and down the other side to Auburn. Okay, and I definitely needed to get over Donner Pass, which is about, oh, don't quote me, 7,200 feet above sea level. I needed to be over that pass. And although the time kept changing in the news, it looked to be about 11 o'clock. That was the magic number. I had to be over the pass. So Thursday morning, I start out, and I'm going up I-80 towards Truckee, and the weather's getting bad, and the snow's starting to come down, and it was pretty cold, and I'm in a Subaru, right, all-wheel drive. Well, it started to get really bad, and honestly, I lived in Truckee for years. I was living there when I met my husband. I drive in snow. Doesn't bother me. Yeah, I had an SUV, but you know what? It didn't matter. I was still a good driver, never been in an accident. The worst snow day ever, I was still on the road, who cares, doing my errands, no big deal. By the time I reached Truckee, I had to pry my fingers off the steering wheel. I was petrified. It was so frightening. The car, I didn't feel like I was gripping the road. I was sliding. God forbid I had to step on my brakes and slow down. It was horrible. So I pull off in Truckee, and the 89 exit will take you through this little roundabout, and over to a McDonald's, okay? And it's about 10 o'clock, 10:15, right? I'm running out of time. But I think, you know what? If I get stopped anywhere along this route, I should have food in the car. And I had packed beef jerky, and I think I had some cereal, but I thought, why not some hot food just in case? So I pull off, and I don't know if you've been on ice, and you know when you hit your brakes, not hard, but you hit your brakes and your anti-lock brakes lock. And that terrible noise, I have nightmares about that terrible noise. I'm getting that terrible noise. I'm trying to make it around this roundabout on sheer ice. The snow is coming down, but I make it to McDonald's. I go in, I get, what did I get? Hash browns and one of those little muffin, egg muffin things. I don't really eat fast food, but I thought I should get hot food. Well, as I'm walking back to my car, I completely face plant in the parking lot. Everyone is staring at me. Yeah, I took a step. My feet went backwards. I did this beautiful full layout body splash right onto the pavement. Guess how many people helped me? Zero. No, all the skiers in their great warm clothes and their big boots and little furry hats, yeah, they're all just staring at me. I'm laying there with my keys and my phone in one hand and my McDonald's food in the other. So nothing got hurt. My face didn't even get hurt, just my ego. Not that I had a huge one, but it was gone by this point. So I picked myself up, walked to my car, and I sat there a few minutes and went, okay, can I make this trip? Now, to turn around and go back, and the weather was really bad, I do have to say, should I go back approximately 30 minutes to get back to Reno, or shall I go an hour and a half forward west over the pass? Well, the smart thing would have been to turn around and take a 30-minute trip back into Reno, but I was too petrified to go back. I was more afraid of the known than the unknown, even though I well know what a terrible winter storm can do. So I forged ahead. And I forged ahead. I actually made it over Donner Pass by 11 o'clock and started down on the other side. Well, as you know, one can slip heading down. At some points, my car was in first gear. Rather than use the brake, you know, you can always downshift. So sometimes I was in third gear. I have an automatic, but you can still downshift into third, sometimes second, sometimes first. I was really in a caravan. I forget what the car was, but some guy tucked in behind me because visibility sometimes was virtually nil with the blowing snow, and my windshield wipers couldn't keep up with the snow many times. And even with your headlights on, you know, you can't see, so wear your sunglasses. Some sunglasses, I think they're the yellow tinted ones, you can see a lot better in a snowstorm. And my glasses do pretty well, my sunglasses. So I had those on and I crept down that mountain. I had to call 911 at one point. There was a trucker who was going down one of the 6% grades, completely smashed into a snowbank, unfortunately, on the fast lane, and had he gone through that railing, he would have plummeted down the side of the hill there. So it was extremely frightening. It took me 6 hours to do a basically 3-hour trip. That's how slow I was going. So once I got over the Donner Pass, right, I'm going down the hill, I hit the front. Here comes that 11 o'clock wave that I wanted to miss at the pass. And when that sucker hit me, I think I have recordings of the rain, when I hit the rain line. It was horrible, horrible. I was such an idiot to try to make that drive. I got to Sacramento, I had to pull over and just rest a while, you know, get my bearings again, stop shaking, get some blood back into my face. And I finally made it to my mom's home, which was about 55 miles from Santa Clara, where Stitches West was. All right, so Stitches West. The storm continued on both Friday and Saturday in the Bay Area. Horrific, horrific rain. But I got my mom and I safely there. And on Friday, I had two goals. My number one goal was to go to the Pearlescence Yarn booth to drop off my preemie hat to Jasmine and Gigi, and they gave beautiful, beautiful little gifty bags. I call them swag bags for all the people who were donating the preemie hats. The generosity was just unbelievable. So thank you very much. I send that out into the stratosphere, pog sphere. If you're listening, Jasmine and Gigi, thank you so very much for all those little goodies. And one of the goodies in that bag was a postcard, and the postcard gave instructions on how to get a download from Knit Circus with a bunch of their patterns for free. And if you might remember from episode 11, I fell in love with a Knit Circus pattern that Alana Dacos from Never Not Knitting had given to Knit Circus, and it was one called Roses Are Red. It was in the free download. I'm so excited. When I got that little freebie sent to my email, I was freaking out in here. Yeah, I was singing the hallelujah. No, I haven't been drinking. The Hallelujah Choir. I was so excited to have that. Look, I can't even talk. That's how excited I was. All right. So anyway, Jasmine and Gigi, they were one of my big goals. And my other goal was to drop off my Mother Bears to Amy over at the Mother Bear booth. So I went and I gave him my Mother Bears, and she's such a nice lady. I met her last year too, but my enchanted brain really doesn't help me have much recollection of who I've met and when. I just can't seem to categorize names and faces in the same file folder. But a lovely lady dropped off my bears, and I did see Dr. Gemma. She was in the meet and greet lineup with Jasmine and Gigi, and I gave her a hug for all that she does to help Mother Bear and for being such a sweet gal herself. So that was my big goal on Friday. Got those knocked off the list. I went to the Ravelry meet and greet. I think that was at 1 to 2. And I also bought my two items at Stitches West that I had mentioned that I wanted. The first was the Sugar and Cream Cowl pattern, again by Alana of Never Not Knitting, and the Madeline Tosh Ginger Colorway yarn to do that pattern. And I actually found it at the Sweet Georgia booth, and I bought it there. Nice people. Helped me find the right yarn, made sure I had it all correct, and I'm just thrilled to pieces that I have everything I wanted from Stitches West. I ran into a couple of friends there from Sacramento that I had not expected to meet, so I'm excited about that. And I also, when I was at the Stitches event on Friday, I ran into a lady named Bonnie who was showing a product called Fix a Stitch. And I neglected to put it near my laptop while I was talking, but Fix a Stitch are these three different sized little needles to help you grab slipped stitches when you drop a stitch. And you know, either whether you're knitting or purling, either side, you just whip it back up with these little tools. And they're also used for cabling. And she showed me how when you do a cable, how these little fix-a-stitch needles just hang on to your needles so greatly in your work. You don't need a different needle or an extra needle. They were perfect. And my mother was sweet enough to buy them for me as a gift for bringing her to Stitches West again for our little outing. So, Bonnie, I want to thank you so much for showing us how your little fix-a-stitch item works. I have tried it. I'm actually using it right now, and I think it's fantastic. And I will put a link in the show notes to that in case anybody else wants to go have a peek. They have a tutorial on their website how to use their product. Really, really great. All right, the other thing I want to mention is I came across Halos of Hope at Stitches West, and they do hats for people going through cancer. And so I will be doing some hats for Halos of Hope as well, probably for the next Stitches. And I think that's pretty much all I did for the Friday. On the Saturday, we did go back just to do a little bit more walking around. I've decided the whole Stitches in one day. I have to do half of the convention center on one day and half the other. I don't know if I've mentioned it, but I have CFS chronic fatigue syndrome. And although, you know, you can sit down in their nice little concessions area, it's a lot different than being at home relaxing. So we took it really slowly, and I think it worked out well for mom too. So I had a lovely trip. I love seeing everybody. Oh, I know what I also did on Saturday. I got an email or an instant message or whatever, a Ravelry mail from a lady who was manning the Serendipity Spinners booth. I think they're out of, I don't want to say Larkspur, California. Maybe I do. Anyway, somewhere in California, Serendipity Spinners. And one of the ladies in the booth, Lumatic, asked to come and see her. So I was thrilled. I went to meet Lumatic and she showed me how you spin. I'm not a spinner. I can't get near the wool much with my husband, but sweetest of people. So Lumatic, thank you for inviting me over to your booth so that I could meet you. I know you listen to this podcast, so hello. Thank you again for being here. Helps fill up the lounge, gives me more people to talk to. So I think that was Stitches. And I had a great 4 days with my mom. You know, she's 76, I think now, 77. And in her twilight years has discovered Farmville. Yeah, isn't that weird? It's a Facebook game. I'm not a huge Facebook person, but she's addicted to Farmville. In fact, our whole trip when we came home depended on her deadlines for harvesting her food or her something. It was adorable. So she's totally addicted to Farmville. If you need another Farmville farmer, let me know and I'll put you guys together and you can harvest each other's cows and grapes and everything. Yeah, she loves it. She's adorable. So that was Stitches. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, great. I loved Stitches. You know, it is. It's a fiber orgy, and you meet so many lovely people. And I know what I wanted to say. One of the things I took to Stitches to help me find people was there's a gal out of Sacramento. Yes, Northern Sacramento, maybe Orangevale. And she owns a business, Silver Griffin Shirts. They sell more than shirts, but it's called Silver Griffin Shirts. And I bought from her a tote bag, this great canvas tote bag. It has pockets inside. It had a big pocket on the side where I could stick my knitting needles in. And I whipped myself up a logo that would be very identifiable for when I tried to find people. I'd say, oh, yeah, just look for the tote bag. And I sent her my logo, and she put it on both sides of my tote bag. What an awesome job. I'm going to put a link to the show notes to her website. As I said, she can do tote bags, shirts, jackets, hats, cups, whatever. And through her business, you can also have an online presence as far as a store goes, your own personal store. And I think I'm going to say it's like Cafe Press, whom I've never used, but Cafe Press, I think, makes you use their advertising, and their name is on it, and I also think you're kind of dialed, constricted in what you charge, because they get a percentage, but her setup is different. There's nothing on that website or storefront that is anything but you and your marketing for your business or your sports team or, you know, your child's Girl Scout cookie thing, whatever. It's all you. So I'm going to put a link. She's really fantastic, great to work with, very fast, reasonably priced. And if you need a new knitting tote bag that'll just stand up to wear and tear, she has a huge selection. And you can buy one from her, you can buy 100 from her, however many you need. And of course, she has all the inventory. If you do a little storefront with her, it's of course never with you. It's always with her, and she mails it out to the people, and then you get a percentage. It's great. So I'm going to put a link to that. Very, very sweet. And I think that was it. Yep, all for Stitches. I think my enchanted brain managed to remember all of it. And like I said, I had a great time with my mom as she played her Farmville game. I sat next to her with a scanner and my laptop, and I scanned all of the old family photos, or as many as I could get through, because she's a great resource, and I'm sure you have some in your family too, where you have photos of great aunts or great-great-grandparents or whatever. And when that elder dies, they're going to take so much of that information with them. So I sat there with these old black and whites, you know, discolored, many of them yellowed. And I would say, you know, Mom, who is this? And she'd tell me who it was. She might tell me a little story about that photograph. And then I would scan it and categorize it into my laptop. And if she told me a little story, a little information, then I would make a notation for me and for whoever will get these photos from me. So the other siblings in my family or whoever. So if you have an elder in your family and you have the ability to spend an afternoon or an evening or whatever with them with old photographs, definitely do it. It's a way to tie in the past and the present and to get from these elders the information they have that is so valuable and so easily lost. So definitely give it a try. You know, call them up on Skype if you have to. Record the conversation. Have them tell you about that story with Aunt so-and-so that was so hysterical. You know, record that conversation so that you can give it to your kids or your grandkids so they can remember that person. All right, I think we're going to make a jump over to, what was number two today? You see what's happened? I've totally screwed up the list and can't remember. Crafty news. All right, so I'm going to come right back in just a moment with crafty news, but I've got to go check on dinner, so I'll be right back.
Blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread makes you live so long you wish you were dead. You add some yogurt and you'll be well fed with blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
My grandpa's older than the old gray mare. He sits a-rocking in his rocking chair. But now he's got a smile that he can't lose. Grandma's sitting knitting baby's shoes.
From eating blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread makes you live so long you wish you were dead. You add some yogurt and you'll be well fed with blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
I gave up cherry pie and T-bone steak, chicken fricassee and ice cream cake. I don't need vitamins or pills at all. I even mix it with my haddock.
I'm eating blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread. Makes you live so long you wish you were dead. You add some yogurt and you'll be well fed with blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
My nerves were jumpy and I'd walk the floor. I never got to sleep till after four. But since I'm eating right, I feel okay. I'm sleeping every night and half the day
from eating blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
From eating
blackstrap so long you wish you were dead.
From eating
you add some yogurt and you'll be well fed.
From eating
blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
Inka dinka, inka dinka, inka dinka doo.
Now I was thinner than a pencil line, had no muscles and I had no spine. But now I'm friskier than a pup. All you have to do is prop me up.
Just feed me blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread. I may say you're dead so long you wish you were dead. You add some yogurt and you'll be well fed with blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
I know a fella who is 92.
Doctors told the guy that he was through.
But now that the doctor has been proven wrong,
he's got more hop in him than hop along.
From eating blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread makes you live so long you wish you were dead. You add some yogurt and you'll be well fed with blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
I bet you didn't even notice how long I was gone, huh? Well, why would you? That was the wonderful quartet of Groucho Marx, Danny Kaye, Jimmy Durante, and Ella Fitzgerald. And I downloaded that from musicarchive.org. And you know, I just realized that I probably didn't give proper credit to Project Sisyphus, who sang The Prices Suck at Whole Foods. I downloaded that at musicalley.com, and I will link both of those in my show notes. All right, onward and upward. I'm ecstatic to say that Captain Jack, my long-suffering buccaneer bunny, has little eyes in his head and is finished. I ultimately did not have to use the eyes from a little donor bear that I had purchased at a thrift store. I found suitable eyes at a local craft store. So Captain Jack, I purchased last year, I think it was April 2010, and I purchased him from Debbie Birkin in England. And at the time, you could only get it via snail mail. I don't know if that's still true, but if you're interested, I think you can purchase through Ravelry. I think this project had about 20 pieces, and there was nothing truly difficult in the pattern. If it's something that you want to make, it just is a long pattern to me, lots of little pieces starting and stopping, and I felt like I seamed for days. It was all worth it. I love Captain Jack, and I'm glad that I got him finished in time for the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie with Johnny Depp. It just took a long time. He was well worth it. And my husband took me a really awesome photo, and it is up on Ravelry, and I believe I'll also be putting it up on my blog. All right, since the last episode, other than Captain Jack, I of course finished the little preemie hat, and that was for Jasmine's Call to Arms at Stitches West. So I delivered that, and my fourth mother bear, was it my fourth mother bear? Well, my fourth mother bear for this year. Florence Nightenbear, and I donated her in Susan's name, the podcaster for Knit a Journey, and Florence was designed after the nurses of World War I. I think she came out really adorably, so I was happy to have an opportunity to make one more this year. All right, do you remember that pattern that I purchased at Stitches, the cream and sugar cowl? Well, it involves cables. I've never done cables, and I was a little intimidated by the cables. So I ordered a book from Amazon.com, and it is called, let me see here, Ready, Set, Knit Cables by Carrie Hammett. And there are 20 designs in the book and 10 projects. And I have to tell you, I love this book. It's got lots of pictures, step by step. There's a picture at each step. The instructions are very clear, and I sat down at lunch, and I have only a 30-minute lunch at work, and in 30 minutes, I had already knitted up a little cable swatch. I was so proud of myself. So if you also are intimidated by cables, or if you just want to get the chance to see all the different types of cables, I was really impressed at the designs that you can cable. Is so creative. I couldn't believe it. You know, I would have been obsessing over cables in a good way ages ago if I had known how easy they are. So I highly recommend this book. And I also want to tell you it's wire bound, which makes it really easy to use when you're knitting. So go check that out. Ready, Set, Knit Cables. And I will also make a note of that in the show notes. Okay, on to what is on my needles right now, because I'm trying to cruise on into the end of this podcast. Well, this past Friday night, it was the season finale of Spartacus, Gods of the Arena. And I am a gladiator addict. See, they even take my breath away talking about them. Well, no surprise, since my husband puts on armor and fights for my honor over the weekends. But I just love this show. The gratuitous sex, yes, I could live without that. But the storyline really pulls me in. And I can't wait for each episode, but it's over now. I have to wait a year for the next season on Stars. So prior to the show, I swatched up and readied to cast on the werewolf hat pattern from the Vampire Knits book that I talked about in an earlier podcast. Well, I cast on the werewolf watching the show to my 16-inch circular needles, and of course figured out that I had too big of a circular needle. Well, I had nothing smaller, so great, I had to move on. I didn't have any DPNs, so I quickly grabbed the cream and sugar cowl that I had purchased with the cable technique by Never Not Knitting. Right here was my problem trying to do this during the season finale. I'm sitting through this roller coaster ride of a finale, and I'm trying to cast on 252 stitches long tail cast on. All right. And I get to, you know, I'm casting on, and then you have to count. And, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 52. What happened? What number am I at? Uh-oh. And you start again. I did this about 10 times until I decided I'm never going to get this right. I could never get my count to come out the same number. So, to date, I have two projects cast on. I have the Never Not Knitting Cream and Sugar Cowl, of which I may or may not have 252 stitches on my circular needle. And I have the werewolf hat, which I cast on Friday, and I probably have about 4 inches or so knitted up right now. And I'm hoping to have the werewolf hat finished by March 11th, because that is the premiere or opening of the movie Red Riding Hood, which has a werewolf theme in it. So I think it's going to be a kick to wear that to the movie theater. So those are my two projects. And before I leave Crafty News, I want to make mention of something a little earlier that happened today. My car had a nail in the tire, dropped it off at a repair center. My husband came and saved me. And as I was walking across the parking lot to get in the car, I had my werewolf hat knitting in my bag. And I got in the car and I looked in the bag just for whatever, and I squeaked in horror. My needles had lost stitches. Well, my husband, the intrepid Mr. Fix-It, said, "I can fix that." And he drove across the parking lot to Home Depot, took my spare size 11 DPN into the store, and returned with vinyl tubing that fit perfectly over the tips of my needles, making wonderful little stitch stoppers. How great is that? So here's a quick tip. If you need stitch stoppers, you can cut a bunch of these vinyl tubing sizes up, whatever size fits your needle, and hand them out to your next stitch and kibitz meeting, or craft swap get together, or trade with friends. What a neat little thing to give away. Anyway, I was so excited. Vinyl tubing, who knew? Okay, musings. We're cruising in to the end. Musings. I want to make mention, and let me grab it here, that a new edition of the Renaissance magazine, issue number 77, has come out. And you will find in there a call pattern. That's a pattern for women's hats, so it's in there. There is also an article on witch bottles that looks very interesting. I haven't had a chance to read anything but one article. It is not the article about the SCA, though I recommend, if you're interested in learning about the SCA, that you have a peek at that. But I wanted to mention specifically an article in here called Cod Pieces, A Necessity of Politics. Believe it or not, I have a cod piece story. Yes. Basically, a cod piece, if anyone doesn't know, is a part of a man's apparel that was worn because, as the hemlines for men's clothing back in, I don't know, 14th, 15th century, started to get shorter, things started to show. And so I think if you imagine King Henry VIII and his hosiery, do you remember he was always wearing tight, hose because he was very athletic when he was young, had some awesome legs to show off. He's usually pictured with a cod piece. So unless you had something to cover your privates, they would just be out there in the breeze. So the cod piece was created. And they became very flamboyant, and definitely the idea of bigger is better, or compensating for one's ego, were probably apt sayings about the cod pieces. Well, a few years back, my husband and I had to make lansquenet outfits for a coronation. So lansquenets, which are German, 15th, 16th century, thereabouts, were mercenaries, and they dressed really, really elaborately. And their clothing is very bold. It's very bright. And anyway, my husband was not too thrilled to have to wear lansquenets. We're 14th century people. I think our clothing is kind of quiet by nature. But German clothing, lansquenet period, is loud. Well, he's a leather worker, so he made some beautiful leather pants, which then you slash. You put slashes in the leather, and then you pull out multicolored fabric. It kind of shows the spoils of war, as it were. So anyway, he made these leather pants. And lansquenet, it's a word I can't say, requires the wearing of a codpiece. It's what they wore. Well, what's a wife to do? I had to add my own little touch to his codpiece. So I went down to the local Toys R Us. I walked through the stuffed animal aisle section, until I came upon my donor, a little Mickey Mouse. And when you squeeze him, among other things, he says, "Oh boy!" I brought him home, and under local anesthesia, I gutted him and placed his voice box into my husband's codpiece. And throughout the day, and it was a long day, coronations usually are, I could squeeze that codpiece and bring joy and happiness to the populace that was around us. It was a community service, truly. Here, let me see. If I can get my microphone close to this guy, let's see if you can hear him. Hold on. I gotta squeeze it right. Hold on. Hold on. Did you hear that? I hope so. Anyway, it's not super loud, but anyway. But don't worry about Mickey, because I did sew him back up and I gave him to my nieces, and they were none the wiser that he was now mute. So that was my little codpiece story. And I think I'm just going to move away from that, and you can take with it from it whatever you will. So, musings, nearing the end again, I have finished two books that I want to mention. My first is Letter to My Daughter by Maya Angelou. Very good. The book is entitled Letter to My Daughter, but since my mother is still alive, I read it as a letter to my granddaughter. I have very few memories of my grandmother, and Maya's stories were fabulous, of her wisdom to the next generation. So if that's a book that you think you would enjoy, I would highly recommend it. The audio version only took about 2.5 hours. It was really great. I could sit there in an afternoon, and it was done, and it was wonderful. And the second book is Mozart's Brain and the Fighter Pilot, Unleashing Your Brain's Potential by Dr. Richard Restick, R-E-S-T-A-K, and I will put both on my blog or my show notes for you. They're always listed on the Muse page, M-E-O-W-Z, but I'll link them in the show notes too. Now, this book is not a page-turner, and you're not going to rush home to read it, but it has some really great information on brain exercises to improve your memory and your focus and your concentration. I also found that it had some really interesting thoughts on ADD and why the influx of technology is diminishing our ability to focus. So if you think about how, and I'm totally guilty of this, laying in bed or sitting in front of the tube and you channel surf, that constant changing and the lack of logical progression, right? The beginning of one movie to a commercial that has no sense when you jump to another show and you catch it at the end, there's no logic there. And this book really made that clear to me, and I never truly thought about that. So that I found very fascinating. And also screens, so e-readers, computers, TVs, they make our brains function on the right side, your right hemisphere. Yes, I'm correct. See, I'm looking at a screen, and I'm not thinking correctly. And the left side is your logic. So if you're constantly emotional, you're not going to be able to think logically. So I found that a fascinating point in his book. And I was also happy to read that the book encourages Tai Chi as a form of exercise. Tai Chi used to be a great passion of mine until I got married, and then it's been kind of pushed to the back burner. But I hope to get back to that one day, so I was happy to see that referenced. And also puzzles. He highly suggests puzzles to help make you think. And even if you can't at the first reading of that puzzle solve it, he suggests you sleep on it. Just dwell on it, think about it, and then come back and see if you can answer it. You don't have to try to answer them right away. And he also recommends that you log which books you read. I've done this for years. What I don't do, that he says, is to write a note about the book. So here's the book. What are your thoughts about it? What did you agree or disagree? You know, did that author say something that you think was contradictory to another book you read? If you do, you write down what you feel that contradiction is, whether you agree or not, and your thoughts. And he also references knitting and crochet as intellectual exercises. I've always heard that they were great exercises because it takes both hemispheres, both sides of the brain, one telling your left side, your left hand what to do, one telling your right, and it was always a good exercise, but he calls it an intellectual exercise. And he talked about music, to play music, but also to listen to music. Now, I took up playing the harp when I turned 40, as I heard that if we learn something new in every decade of our life, we would help stave off Alzheimer's or dementia. So I took up harp when I turned 40. But he also said that listening to music was equally as stimulating for your brain. So I'm going to read a quote that I really liked. It says, "Simply listening to music you enjoy activates parts of the frontal lobes and the limbic cortex on both sides of the brain." He went on to say that listening to Mozart can strengthen how one thinks and also reasons. This idea was according to Gordon L. Shaw, physicist and author of the book Keeping Mozart in Mind. So basically, problem solving and thinking improves with listening to Mozart. Well, since I have the opinion of experts that Mozart is going to help us all out here in the lounge, I'm going to actually play us out today with Mozart. So sit back and relax. And since we all know that knitting and crochet helps our brain out craft-wise, please click away, knowing we're getting smarter with every loopy endeavor. So thank you all very much for being with me here today. And if I butcher this Italian title, just forgive me, okay? Here goes. Just smile. Here's the Stryker Trio with Allegro Assai, Divertimento in B minor. See you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.